Who was this man? What was he?
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
All right, good evening. It's live. This is Walter Sterling, coast to coast. Very exciting for you. Coming up tonight, this is the Sterling on Sunday show, Taylor edition. Plus, you and I are going to talk about Taylor Swift conspiracies and the horror of going to a big and tall men's store. That's you and me in seconds. Now, Dr. Dave Weather.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
No one hates government-inspired acronyms like Secrets Cabaret in North Carolina. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain how everyone, including cops, can be hypocrites. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Drunken man steals a machete. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney, and we have more teenage drivers, and that means buying more used cars.
Used cars that are little old lady cars that they won't be tempted to drive too fast.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
You know what the difference is between you and me, Violet?
Yeah.
Me neither.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
A few years ago, I went into a big and tall men's store. And at the time, I was a little heavier and self-conscious about my weight. And I said, you know, I'm a little heavier than I want to be, and I'm going to go in and I'm going to get pants that actually fit so that a little of me doesn't roll over the waist, that they actually fit, which will actually make you look thinner, and an appropriate belt and some new socks, and I'm going to look as good as I can at this weight. Now, I'm happy to report that I've lost 40 pounds, but that's because of long COVID. Oh, you don't know about that? For 18 months, I had this condition where almost every food tasted like rot. Not what I wish I had, which was that it didn't taste. Oh, I was jealous of the long COVID people whose food had no taste. No, no, no. Mine tasted like garbage. July, in the sun, trash heap, garbage. That's what my food tasted like, except for one or two items. Unadulterated meat, plain fish, and oranges. I lived on 4 to 8 oranges every day. Shockingly, I lost weight. I am now down 4 pant sizes and 40 pounds. And my morning diabetes number is 78, 82. It's amazing. To this day, I can't eat. I can eat a lot more things now, but to this day, I can't eat bread, no pasta, no rice. I either get acid reflux or it tastes terrible. No chocolate. Wow. All right. A few years ago, I went into the Big and Men's shop, and I went in to buy some clothes for big and tall men's. And what I expected when I went in there was to meet Beefsteak Charlie or Big Wilson. Or, who was that guy? Oh, or John Goodman, before he found some mystical medicine. John Goodman. I figured that the guy helping me would be John Goodman. And I'd feel comfortable because I would have been among my people. In fact, I would have been skinnier than the people who work there. And when I walked into the Big and Tall Men's shop, which is traumatic in itself, because when you go to the small section, it says 4-0. And when you go to the medium section, it says 5-5. And when you go to the big section, it says 6-5. And everything starts with an X. It's a different experience. but the clothes look sane and normal. It has a Brooks Brothers men's warehouse look to it. They look like normal clothes, except they're very big. I was waiting to be embraced by a very large man and told that, hey, you know, put his arm around me, offer me a creamsicle, offer me a chocolate pop. Hey, wait, Mr. Sterling, before we fit you, would you like to eat this gallon of ice cream with us? Oh, yeah, I'd like to eat the gallon of ice cream with you in the big and tall men's shop. That's what I was looking forward to. Oh, wait, over here we have the pizza buffet and the hot and crusty buffet. And no, we don't have any diet sodas. Sorry. Oh, you have diabetes? We all do. It's okay. Oh, this is the type 2 section. And Joe here, he's an oddity. He's a type 1. He isn't responsible for his diabetes at all. I don't know if I can relate. Oh, a lot of people can't relate to Joe. He was born with it. He doesn't know anything but not being able to eat chocolate or soda or ice cream. Ha, ha, ha. Joe, you're such an oddity. That's what I expected to find in the big and tall men's store. That's what I was looking forward to finding. And instead, I found something that was counterintuitive and not constructive and did not sell any clothes. Good evening. I'm Walter Sterling. You and I will discuss that in just seconds tonight. Taylor Swift conspiracies. Plus, do you realize that in the past 2 weeks, a Earth spacecraft has landed on the moon, and all I've heard about is South Carolina? What? After 50 years, we finally put another craft on the moon, and all I'm hearing about is South Carolina. What the hell? Are you kidding me? I have been through hell and back with my school system, and I need your advice. And my 18-year-old daughter has a dilemma. She has a dilemma. And I'll tell you what I told her to do. You tell me if I was right. All of that and you coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by TikTokers.
Bro, science is so fake because they say that the sun is the hottest thing in the world, but they clearly haven't seen you. What? You're hot. I mean, you're hotter than the sun. I think we should kiss about that.
It was more than 10 seconds. And where's the lesbians in space? We have a Lesbians in Space ready. It's 17 past the hour. I promised you on the sevens, Lesbians in Space. Let's hear a Lesbians in Space.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bra?
Both of you. I mean, I know why you like me.
Yeah, unfortunately I did.
Well, I like you right back. Emma.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien life with benefits.
There are situations where we have expectations, where we expect to feel comfortable, and then, oh my gosh, I'm not comfortable. I'm in a big and tall men's shop, and I'm looking forward to meeting Beefsteak Charlie and Big Wilson and John Goodman to greet me, welcome me into big guy heaven. A few years ago, I weighed more than I weigh now. I'd like to weigh less than I do now, but now I'm okay. But a few years ago, I was not. All right, now, I go in, and I figure to be welcomed with a pizza, chocolate ice cream, a pie. Oh, Mr. Sterling, welcome. Here is your welcoming pie to the big and tall men's shop. And what do I see? Who arrives? Who greets me? Nobody was at the switch. Nobody in the marketing department thought this through. There was a attractive, size 1, 5'2" woman. She was like a size 1, 5'2" maybe woman. If I had exhaled, she would have knocked over. And immediately I felt self-conscious, uncomfortable. How may I help you, sir? Well, you could start by putting on 50 pounds. I could not have been more intimidated and felt fatter than looking at a size 1 woman in a big and tall men's shop. I'm sorry, there are certain things that I need a man for. And when I'm buying clothes, I need a guy. Now, maybe you want to be dressed for the bedroom, and you'd be more comfortable with a woman salesperson. I am not. There are two places in the world where I am not comfortable transactioning with a woman. One is in a big and tall men's store where I want to be like with a big guy who understands that I'm not that heavy and understands what a belt should be. And this is the other one. This is just me. I'm just wrong about this. In a traditional Jewish delicatessen, behind the counter, I want a big guy who can take one look at me and know how much mayonnaise to put on, who can take one look at me and know how much Russian dressing to put on, to know how many slices of corned beef go on that sandwich. That's what I need. I'm sorry. I have three daughters. This is not misogyny or sexism. I'd rather have a woman flying the plane. I'd rather have a woman driving the car. I will never be, for whatever reason, I'm not comfortable with a woman with the giant meat slicer slicing a bologna in front of my eyes. The symbolism of all of that is very difficult for me to handle as a young man. And I am not comfortable in a big and tall men's shop with a size one woman trying to sell me clothes. And then I'm looking online at videos. I like to look at videos. And I see this one.
I'm going to every single Gordon Ramsay restaurant in America. Over the next 10 days, we will be traveling over 11,000 miles, eating at all 23 locations in the USA. And guess what? I've managed to find the one friend dumb enough to do it with me.
These two guys decide to go to every Gordon Ramsay restaurant in America, which was educational because I didn't realize he had three different types of restaurants, a very fancy one, a sort of fancy one, and a fish and chips one. I didn't realize that, but they're all beautiful, all incredibly well run, all meticulous. Hell's Kitchen, that's what most of them are called. Beautiful restaurants. And their goal was to get Gordon Ramsay to recognize them, pay attention to them, and thank them. And they got tips from the managers of the different restaurants along the way. And the tips were things like, say the food is great, be enthusiastic, and probably after a couple restaurants, Ramsay will know you're here and will get back to you. Well, they were successful. They went to every Gordon Ramsay restaurant in 10 days in America, coast to coast, ate a beef Wellington at every single one. And toward the end, Gordon Ramsay FaceTimed with them. Great. Terrific. Terrific PR for them. I don't know how these two tools who look about 25 could afford a beef Wellington three or four times a day, but they did. Okay. That's not the point. I'm watching these videos. And if you want to check them out online, they're called I Ate at Every Gordon Ramsay Restaurant in the Country. You can remember that. And here are these two guys, right? All right, so we see them sitting down at these restaurants, and they're skinny guys. We see them sitting down at the restaurant in the big booths. I love big booths because I'm from New Jersey, and I have a body built for Brooks Brothers. That's what I'm made for. Big booths, diners, Brooks Brothers. Did I tell you once I was walking down Fifth Avenue in a Brooks Brothers suit? And two women approached me, clearly from out of town, because they were in Sansibel slacks. And they said to me, could you tell us where Brooks Brothers is? They decided I knew where Brooks Brothers was, but that's not the end of the story. About a month later, it happened again. A random person stopped me and said, do you know where Brooks Brothers is? I didn't know if it was a compliment or that they took one look at me and knew that I had a body built for Brooks Brothers. But I do. The only, for whatever reason, the only clothes that have ever fit me and that I think look good. Not stylish, but do the job. Now I'm looking at these videos of these tools ordering food at Gordon Ramsay restaurants. And I noticed a pattern, a very important pattern. Every waiter and waitress that served them at the Gordon Ramsay restaurant was fat. They weren't overweight. They were fat. and proud and happy. What can we get you? Every Gordon Ramsay restaurant. Now remember, Gordon Ramsay is a brilliant man and a brilliant marketer. There's nothing casual in those restaurants. There's no maybes in that restaurant. No maybes in a Gordon Ramsay. Every waiter and waitress in the Gordon Ramsay restaurants on the videos entitled, I ate at every Gordon Ramsay restaurant in the country, was fat. And I'm fascinated by this. Like, that's, and they were, these guys were ordering like crazy. They were ordering three or four entrees every time, each of them. And then for some wacky talk show host reason, I searched. Do we order more food if the waiter and waitress is fat? And son of a gun, the restaurant industry has researched this up the wazoo. A fat waiter and waitress does not make us feel self-conscious about ordering too much. It turns out that a fat waiter and waitress makes it easier for us to order the two items that restaurants make the highest profit on, alcohol and dessert. Restaurants make their highest profits on alcohol and dessert. We're looking at 40-50% increase in the amount of alcohol you and I order from a fat waiter or waitress, and a 30-40% increase in the amount of desserts we order from a fat waiter or waitress. A fat waiter or waitress is gold in a restaurant. They are gold in a restaurant because subconsciously or not so subconsciously, they give us permission to order whatever we want. And what do we want? Alcohol. And what do we want? We want dessert.
I'm going to every single Gordon Ramsay restaurant in America. Over the next 10 days, we will be traveling over 11,000 miles eating at all 23 locations in the USA. And guess what?
Every waiter and waitress was fat. Not overweight. They were fat. And proud. And as a result, you and I, with a fat waiter or waitress, will order more alcohol, cha-ching, for the restaurant, more desserts. They make a fortune on desserts. That's where their big profit is, desserts. And what does Gordon Ramsay specialize in? In desserts. And what do they sell in Vegas? Tons of at his restaurant. Alcohol. And we order at least a third more of each, but more like 40%, 50% more from a fat waiter or waitress. This does not surprise me. It makes perfect sense. And it was noticeable because the inside of these restaurants were streamlined, beautiful, elegant lines. Everything was perpendicular, straight lines, right angles, all the decor. And then here comes this huge waiter up to the table. Here comes this huge waitress to the table taking the order. Brilliant marketing. How do you feel about that? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. And speaking of fat, coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk to Steve and Selena of JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Bakers, hot bakers. That never happens. These are hot bakers, and we're going to get a baking tip and find out about the Easter season. But most importantly, we're going to find out about butterfat, all of that in you coming up in just seconds. It's a live radio show, coast to coast. My name is Walter M. Sterling. And it's a joy to be with you as much as it is for you to be with me. A joy. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by almost Tom Cotter.
I'd love to see you give birth to a child.
Yeah, I'd love to see you pee your initials in the snow. We're just different, honey. And by the way, I've been up here for, what, 5 minutes now? Have you heard me once talk like this? Oh, yo, yo, oh, yo,
yo, yo, yo, yo, yo. That's exactly how he sounds, no. People.
And by the way, I know where the batteries are. They're in your bedside table drawer. That's where they are.
All right, good evening. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk to Steve the Baker and Selena at JB Bakery in Burlington to find out about butterfat. No, not in some sort of stupid health way, about the fact that butterfat is very good for us. Dr. Dave and live weather.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
No one hates government-inspired acronyms like Secrets Cabaret in North Carolina. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain how everyone, including cops, can be hypocrites. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Drunken man steals a machete. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney, and we have more teenage drivers, and that means buying more used cars.
Used cars that are little old lady cars that they won't be tempted to drive too fast.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
I pushed you away. I didn't think you wanted to be with me.
Of course I want to be with you.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Do you want to be with me?
I do.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
KCTU dancers as they perform the award-winning, gold disc-winning song, Wawa Tootsie.
That's audio from the low-budget late-night talk show. Let's hear that opening again.
Let's welcome the KCTU dancers as they perform the award-winning, gold disc-winning song, Wawa Tootsie.
A couple years ago, I was searching for the song, the Watootsie. I don't know why, because I'm an idiot. And I find this video of the Watootsie. If you look for the Wawa Tootsie, you will see this, but it's not what you'd expect. It is a modern video of modern, currently dressed college students doing the Watootsie in a really cheap studio where you can see all the cameras. But a host who's a killer host, that guy's a great host, and the dancers are enthused and they want to be there. I'm like, who got this to happen at Kansas State University? And the answer is a genius named James Copeland. James Copeland and I became friends, really good friends. He was still going to school. He was the general manager of the Kansas State radio station. He was putting on this stupid late night show that's brilliant. But I looked it up today. I wondered, well, how's that video doing? Because when I found the video, it was doing about 200,000 views, which amazed me. This video of the Watootsie with college kids, 3.1 million views. 3.1 million views. And today, James Copeland is the morning man at KGGF. KGGF in Coffeyville, Kansas. Why is he in Coffeyville? He's a brilliant guy. Because he wants to be. He loves local radio. The a-holes in my business who always go, well, you know, young people aren't interested in radio. Really? James is maybe 23, and the reason he's in Coffeyville, Kansas, rather, and turned down a job in New York City is because he wanted to do local radio. He could have worked anywhere. He had wired himself into the business like nobody I've ever seen. I was his buddy, Lee Harris, the morning anchor at 1010 Winds, an angry man. Would have done anything for him because he's so sharp, so smart, and so clever. 3.1 million views for this video, but he's at KGGF in Coffeyville, Kansas. I am incredibly proud of James, and I'm thrilled. Where is this thing that I wanted to show you? And I'm thrilled. Yes, and I'm thrilled that he has put us on the Big 69, and I thank you for that, to be in Coffeyville, Kansas, and being able to talk with you. Good evening. It's 42 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday. I am Walter M. Sterling, live on the radio with Steve the Baker and Selena, who are deeply and profoundly owning and associated with J.B. Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Now, the great thing about J.B. Bakery is there is nothing subtle or French about their incredible pastries and baking. These are Jersey pastries. These are for people who mean it. These are people who eat pastries with their hands, not a knife and fork. Would you say that's a fair statement, Stephen?
Tight as a drum. That's the best way to eat a pastry.
Right. Now, Stephen, you're not listening to the radio, are you?
I'm listening to you, Walter.
How are you listening to me, Stephen? How are you listening to me?
Right on the iPhone.
Not on the radio.
Not on the radio.
You promise.
You can always tell if I am or not. I promise.
I can. There's this long space between me asking and you answering.
I'm right here, buddy.
I know you're right.
How about
here.
Now?
What'd you do? What'd you turn off? Okay. We're going to talk to you later, Stephen. We're going to talk to you later. You've done that to me every darn time. Every time. So thanks anyway. We'll talk to you later. Thank you anyway. All right. Good evening. I'm Walter Sterling. Coming up, we've got Keith Fonz and Dave Scott, who, can you believe it? We have landed on the moon, and everybody's talking about South Carolina. All the incompetent people I work with, all they're talking about is South Carolina, South Carolina. And it's unbelievable. But I want to talk about landing on the moon. Plus, I want to talk about the amazing, amazing array of Taylor Swift conspiracies. I mean, why? Oh, because this is Sterling on Sunday, Taylor's edition. Good evening. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
Are you out of your mind?
No.
Are you nuts? I mean, I read it and I said, what is wrong with this woman?
All right. Good evening. 888-688-WALT. You and I get to talk at any time. 888-688-WALT. The studies show very clearly that if you and I have a fat waiter or waitress, we will order more alcohol and more desserts. And that is the linchpin of the profits of every restaurant is alcohol and desserts. That's where they make their money. The rest of it is all, you know, artists. The rest of it is all chefs trying to be artists. But the fact is that's where they make their money. And sure enough, I see these videos of two guys visiting every Gordon Ramsay restaurant in America, like 44 restaurants in 7 days, 10 days. And I finally saw the pattern, which is that every waiter or waitress was fat. The rest of the restaurant was streamlined, sleek. These were handsome and beautiful women who happened to be fat and really good waiters, because you're not working for Gordon Ramsay unless you're fat. Unless you're really good and fat. And son of a gun, that's why he does it. It can't be an accident. There's nothing in Gordon Ramsay's world that would be an accident. I read about how Gordon Ramsay raises his kids. He's got like five or six kids. Get this. I love this. He has all these rules. You know, he's a very tough father, and he's the father of daughters, so you know that none of those rules will ever actually stick. But one of his rules of Gordon Ramsay's kids, no vegetarians. No vegetarianism in his kitchen. He forbids his children to be vegetarians. He doesn't believe in vegetarianism. He'll teach them how to cook. He teaches them at home how to cook, but he will not hire them. They are forbidden from being hired at his restaurants, which I find to be fascinating. I mean, that's fascinating. And none of them are going to inherit his money. He gives them an allowance in college of $100 a week, which to me is pretty good. Oh boy, wouldn't you have liked to have had that when you were in college? But they get $100 a week and they can earn more. They can earn more allowance. he has a closed-circuit camera in his oldest daughter's bedroom. And he pays the next youngest brother to spy on the love life of the oldest daughter. Well, it makes sense. Gordon's always traveling. He's always on the road yelling at restaurants. He's going coast to coast, making restaurateurs miserable, and then staging big events in an overproduced Fox production that we don't really understand. Do we really understand how people get to be top chef, master chef, medium chef? Do we really? No, none of us do. But I love the fact that all his waiters and waitresses that were on the videos were fat. Well, weren't they overweight, Walter? No, the word would be fat. The proof is that if you're served by a fat waiter or waitress, you will order more alcohol, more desserts. Is this true? 888-688-9258. Same way when I was in a big men and tall shop and I was served by a size zero woman who was 5'2", I was intimidated to buy anything. I didn't want her to think I was fat, even though I was there. What I wanted to do was to be served at a big and tall men's shop by a big guy. A big guy who would say, hey, before we buy anything, Walter, let's have a couple slices of pie. And anyway, that's how I feel. 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Keith Fonz. So we got Keith with us. Is Keith here? Hi.
Good evening, Walter.
You speak. There, it's great. You know, I have two producers. I was waiting for one of them to say, oh, yeah, Keith is here. He sounds great. So, Keith, do you sound great?
Always.
It's true. You know, did you ever apply for a job at any radio station in Fairbanks, Alaska, where you live? Did you ever apply for a job?
I haven't, but over the last year since I've been calling in to you, I've actually thought about getting into it.
Now, are you speaking to me on Uconnect or a speaker or directly into the phone?
Into the phone.
Okay, good. There's some strange phasing, but we'll attribute that to the Northern Lights. Do you have Northern Lights tonight in Fairbanks, Alaska? Are the Northern Lights there?
Not tonight. We've been having, you know, kind of cloudy, a little bit of snow, a little bit of freezing rain.
Do you ever have those red Northern Lights? It must be interference from the Northern Lights. He'll call back. He's desperate to be on the air. He's a huge ham. Huge. Good evening. I have a big show for you, and I love to talk to you. Oh, this is really good. Oh, thank gosh. I have time now to talk to you about something really important. Feel the weather. By the way, do you know right now it's almost 80 degrees in Tyler, Texas, where James Parker lives? 80 degrees in Tyler, Texas today, 30 degrees in Syracuse. This is not justice. Keith, do you ever see the red Northern Lights? Do you ever get those in Fairbanks, Alaska?
Yeah, those aren't as common. We get a lot of the green, the bluish. Every now and then you get a little special treat and get a little red in it.
And the first time you saw them in your life, were you awed? Were you scared?
I was awed. I had to pull over, get out of the car, and I was just in daze for minutes until I was finally like, hey, I got to get a picture of this. And now, years later, you know, every time they come out, I have to get pictures.
All right, now you need to send them to us on a regular basis because I love the Northern Lights. The first time I ever saw them was in late August in, of all places, northern New Jersey at 11 o'clock at night, and I didn't know what they were. And then I learned what they were. And in late summer in the Northeast, you can see the Northern Lights on a clear night. It is God's way of saying everything's okay. It should be scary or, whoa, it's calming. To me, the Northern Lights are the most calming, everything's okay, everything's safe thing that I could possibly see.
Now, it is, especially when it's like negative 20, negative 40 degrees out, clear sky. You don't think about how cold it is. You're just in awe of the show that's up in the sky.
Now, because it's negative 20 and 30 and 40 right now, Do you guys ever have sex? Is it ever warm enough in the house to actually have sex?
Warm in the house, definitely. My family, we like to keep our house at 77 degrees all winter long.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because there's this stupid, every few months, there's some stupid movement to require us to keep our thermostats at a certain level. And the reason it's stupid is, the thermostat should never be above 68 or whatever. It never takes into factor how cold it is outside, which affects how cold it is inside, or the house. A 100-year-old house is going to be heated differently than a brand new house. Every house has different insulation depending on how crooked your builder was. And to set a standard for thermostat is insanity. It's the same people who think that that you and I are causing global warming.
I agree. It's like, 77 degrees is comfortable for our family, where somebody else, like a friend of mine, they don't put theirs above 60, and they're comfortable. You know, everybody's comfort level is different, and, like you said, depending on your structure, we live in an old log home, so when it's 77 degrees in our house and negative 40 outside, that's like almost 120 degree difference from outside to inside.
Keith Fons is in Fairbanks, Alaska. He's our Alaska correspondent. Shockingly, no other national radio show recognizes the fact that the nation includes Alaska. Keith, thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Coming up, you and I are going to talk to Randy West about the blight of Fran Drescher. Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Coming up in just seconds, Randy West from Hollywood to explain the incredible power, the atomic blast known as Fran Drescher, and why you and I don't seem to be doing as well as people in SAG and AFTRA. Plus, Dave Scott will talk with us about, there was a moon landing, and everybody's talking about South Carolina because I'm surrounded by idiots. Dr. Dave, weather.
Early on Sunday, coming up.
No one hates government-inspired acronyms like Secrets Cabaret in North Carolina. Details later, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain how everyone, including cops, can be hypocrites. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Drunken man steals a machete. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney, and we have more teenage drivers, and that means buying more used cars.
Used cars that are little old lady cars that they won't be tempted to drive too fast.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
My dearest Emily Ann, I knew from the second you walked into my life that our path would lead us to this precise moment. If I had known that 8 hours of Bloody Marys and yoga pants was all that it took to catch your eye, I have attempted on numerous occasions to explain what you mean to me, but words never seem to convey or emote everything within my heart.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
Joshua Knowlton strolls in a little liquored up early Monday afternoon, about 12:50. Pulls out the gun, fires off a couple of rounds, apparently. Decides, you know what? I really need a machete as well. Grabs a machete and a wonderful four-pack of Modelo beer. Joshua, behind bars. This happened in a wonderful place in Ohio, a Westchester township. place known for its wonderful tree-lined streets, beautiful people, shiny faces, and a Walmart. Walmart is the number one revenue-receiving producing company in the world. Joshua Knowlton probably knew that. But he just wanted to get his machete, his Modelo beer, and fire off a couple of rounds. Knowlton, he's in jail. Generally speaking, everybody, if you're getting a little liquored up, stay home. It's a better way to do. Don't drive, don't go for a stroll. Just enjoy your whatever you're drinking and just stay at home and watch reruns of The Price is Right. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at Night.
It's very exciting to be with you. Now, you and I are going to go on a great adventure. This is something that I'm looking forward to doing with you. And coming up in seconds, we're going to talk to Randy West about the SAG Awards and what this means to you and the fact that the best thing to do is to be an out-of-work actor. Because what Fran Drescher did for SAG and AFTRA is unbelievable. And the big shot CEOs who are making $40, $50 million a year personally did not see what Fran Drescher did coming at them in an express train. But you and I, we deserve treats. You and I have given so much the past few months for Christmas and holidays and Hanukkah. Now we have Easter and Valentine's Day. We give and we give and we give. And if we're suffering through a crappy public school system or we're dealing with annoying in-laws, we deserve to hit our bucket list. What's on your bucket list? On my bucket list is a vacation on the French Riviera. Oh, it's way too expensive. No. No, I know what it costs for a week at the Jersey Shore. And remember, at the Jersey Shore, you have to pay for your own towels. Oh, did you hear that? Santa Monica, Sacramento, Kansas City. If you go to vacation on the Jersey Shore, if you go down the shore, those rental houses don't come with towels. And if you want to rent the towels from a towel rental place, that's a whole industry in New Jersey. You have to book it in January. Oh, gee, you didn't book your towels already? We don't have any more. We're none unavailable. Therefore, half of your car is going to be filled with towels. I know what that week costs. I've done it too many times. I know what South Florida costs, Santa Monica, Southern California, the Pines in Georgia. I know what it costs. The French Riviera, this trip is less because you're going to come with me and my beautiful wife, Katie. You and I are going to go to the French Riviera for 9 days and nine nights in October. Find out about it at waltersterlingshow.com. That's my website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. Go there. You'll see a picture of the French Riviera right on the homepage. Just click that and you'll get all the information. Or if you want, I will personally send you the brochure that was created by Colette Travel for us. It's not some big bus tour. This is a small batch custom vacation for you and me. Midnight Misfits for you and me. Rosemary Furlong, Dee Wells, Beryl Kravitz, John Kelly, Mike Garvey, Charlie Green, and your kid. Neil Paul, Judy Paul, Ann Knupp, Irene Robertson, Eddie Valdez, Frankie Reds, Jennifer Hydrant, Ken Brandenburg, Ken Forbes, Frank Cohn. These are some of the Midnight Misfits. You want to be a Midnight Misfit? Great. Go to waltersterlingshow.com, click on Midnight Misfits, click on that tab, sign up instantly. You get your card instantly. You print it out, all the information on being a Midnight Misfit right there. But today, we're going to go to the French Riviera in October. Limited number of spaces. I want you to come with me. That's what will make it a vacation for me because I've always wanted to meet you. I have tried all sorts of ways to meet you, Keith Mortensen, and this is the best way to do it. Who wouldn't want to meet on the French Riviera? Where are we going? We're going to land in Nice. and spend 9 days in the same hotel. No moving around hotels. I said, when they put together this tour, when they put together this vacation, I said, I'm not changing hotels. My wife, Katie, you kidding me? She's not going to move. She's going to get into bed and never leave. And that's what they did. Nice, Saint-Tropez, Cannes, yeah, the movie place, and Monaco, my favorite place in the world. 9 days, nine nights, we're going to see perfume factories, beautiful flowers, wineries, and the best food anywhere. We're going to have all that food for 9 days. That's insane. Get the brochure. Please get the information. Save your spot. Get the information. You don't have to spend any money now. Just get the information. Go to waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com, or send me an email with your real mail address, and I will personally address the envelope. I'll write you a note. I'll put a smiley face on it, and you and I will go to the French Riviera. Send the email to waltermsterling@gmail.com. And with your real mailing address, no one's going to bother you. You're not going to get a brochure every hour. You're going to get one. That's all I have time for. And let's meet. Let's go to the French Riviera this October. All the information's on the website, or ask for the brochure. Randy West, coming up in seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Inspired by the words of Steve Harvey.
Okay, you want truth? This is why men lie. Because we are afraid of your reaction to the truth.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
No one hates government-inspired acronyms like Secrets Cabaret in North Carolina. Details later, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney, and we have more teenage drivers, and that means buying more used cars.
Used cars that are little old lady cars that they won't be tempted to drive too fast.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain how everyone, including cops, can be hypocrites. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
Nobody cared about me when I was straight. I became a lesbian, and now I'm front of mind. Now we can both get what we want. Power and influence.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here to give you stories of our life with eight kids in an old house. Many of the eight are now teenagers and driving, so here we go, off to buy another junky used car.
Well, I think that's the best way to do it. Sitting in our yard, we have this little fleet of Mr. Rogers, which is a really old CRV. We have the G-Wagon, which is not really a G-Wagon, but an old lady station wagon. And we're about to get another one, which I think is the perfect way to do this. Spend as little on the car as you can. It can be dumpy. It can be frumpy, as long as we can all get to our different places at one time.
Let me tell you how dumpy and how frumpy. Another Becky special here. Mm-hmm. She has arranged to purchase a car for the princely sum of $500.
Now, I will also say that I have done this for each and every kid. So far, I have gotten a $500 car. One of them I just traded for each time we have a kid, because we're not necessarily buying them a car, but we need another car so that I'm not stuck at home while they're at work.
If it lasts more than 1 week, then we scrap it, we break even.
Exactly. That's what we've done with a few of the other ones. Every time we get to the end of that car, we scrap it, and we're ahead. Now, listen, the G-Wagon, let's just go back to the G-Wagon, hit a deer twice in a week. Twice in a week this month.
It's now being held together with duct tape, but still on the road.
It's still on the road. We got it some new headlights, and it's fine. And to no fault of the kids, these deer, two deer leapt out in front of them within the space of a week. So it's good to buy these old junky cars, also that they're not going to be out hot rotting in, right?
Yeah, but it means more insurance.
Yes.
More maintenance, more everything.
And that's
I wasn't cut out for the guy to own a fleet of vehicles.
Okay, but it's really not.
Or my Jay Leno.
It's really not a fleet of vehicles either. When you see this, it's more like a junkyard of vehicles is really what it is. By the way, I did name her Dorothy already.
Before we even pick it up?
Well, she's little and silver and Dorothy's Zwornak. I mean, you know, it's one of my favorites. We have Mr. Rogers, the G-Wagon, and we'll have Dorothy.
I just hope it makes it home.
I think it will, except for the fact that I haven't driven in a stick in quite a few years, so let's see if I can manage that.
Hey, it's part of living with a bunch of kids. They got to have something to drive. Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
If you're looking for me, I'm on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky, Sterling on Sunday.
Having nothing to do with anything, this next phrase of a song is my favorite phrase of any song. Just indulge me. Each night seems just like the 4th of July when stars spangle the sky. Well, it couldn't be more beautiful than that. The Marvelettes had the best version. Ruby and the Romantics had the second best version. And that's a completely different version by a group you've never heard of called Choice 4. Here's KFBK refugee Kendall Toby. Kendall Toby was the star of KFBK for 80 years, and now she's part of Sterling on Sunday on the other side of her career. Kendall, welcome to the big show. Where's Kendall?
Hey.
What were you doing? Where were you?
I'm right here.
Were you smoking? Were you smoking in the parking lot? What are you doing? You weren't listening on the radio. I hope to God you weren't listening on the radio.
I was. It sounded awesome.
Yeah, but that's a 20-second delay. The only result will be dead air, and we know what that means. Heads will roll. Heads will roll. Hey, listen, Kendall Toby, there are many Taylor Swift conspiracy theories. Would you like to share a couple of them with us and then share the one that you believe is most likely?
Yes, I do have some fun Taylor Swift conspiracy theories. So the one that's been really, really hot right now, you guys, because the Super Bowl just happened, a lot of people have been saying that the deep state put Taylor and Travis in an arranged relationship and they rigged the Super Bowl so that they can endorse Joe Biden. So that is the most recent one that I've been hearing about lately in the Taylor Swift conspiracies. Another one here, Walter, is that some people think that she has no belly button because she never shows any pictures of her belly button. She's always wearing really high-waisted pants and really high-waisted skirts. So some people think that she could be an alien. Another one
Kendall, there's another scar it could be hiding.
Really?
Well,
ooh.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now, if she never shows her belly button or below, there are other possibilities of things she might be hiding that would not
like
be
what?
Image positive. I'm not going to say,
yeah.
But it shouldn't take long to come to that conclusion.
Yes.
Had to say it twice. You should have picked up right on that, having worked with Pat Walsh.
Oh, I got it. Yeah. No, I maybe that's why she's hiding it. That could be it.
Yes, right. Right.
Another one.
Go ahead.
Another one here is that, and I just saw this movie the other day. It's called Argyle, but some people think that Taylor Swift wrote the new spy movie Argylle. They think that she is the main character in this movie, Ellie Conway. And a lot of fans think this, Walter, because she's worn a Conway shirt before. She has played an author with red hair before in a short film, and she loves to wear Argylle sweaters. She also has a cat backpack, which was inside of that movie, Argylle. And she has the same type of cat that was in the movie, Argylle, which is a Scottish Fold kitty cat.
If she wrote a hit movie along with a hit album called Argylle, why would she be shy about admitting that and bragging about it? No, I'm serious. Why wouldn't she admit to writing a movie?
Yeah, so no, I know. That's a weird thing to hide.
She admitted to being in the movie Cats. The worst movie of all time.
Oh, well, and I will leave you guys with this one last one, which is probably the most evil conspiracy of all with Taylor Swift. But some people think that she is a clone or reincarnation of the satanic high priestess Xena Schreck, also known as Xena LaVey, the daughter of the founder of the Church of Satan. And a lot of people say that because they look so much alike. And this Xena LaVey was the high priestess during 1985 to 1990, and Swift always talks about being born in 1989. So there's a big amount of people out there in the world who really do think that Taylor Swift is really Xena LaVey.
I think that that one's good. I like that she's the head of the Satanic Church. Consider that there are a lot of problems with the relationship with the football guy. There are a lot of problems with this relationship. I do not think that all the evil powers that be could get together and throw the Super Bowl. I don't think that could happen. But I do think that it could be an arranged relationship. And the reason I say that is nothing has done the NFL more good than Taylor Swift showing up at an NFL game. And I think it's great they shoot her. I think it's great that they show her over and over again. But I believe that Taylor is bisexual. And I believe many of these relationships are beards. I believe that many of the relationships she's had is to keep her image in shape. And it's too bad if she has to do that. Because this is not a logical relationship for her. And the thing that struck me most is if you haven't seen your boyfriend in a week or two, and it's at the beginning of the relationship, and everything is hot as hell, and you fly three quarters of the way around the world to go and see your girlfriend in Australia, and you get off the plane, what's the first thing you do? I know, you go see a koala. He gets off the plane, and they go to the zoo. And there's no better photo op or stupider photo op in Australia than the shot with the koala bear. I've been to Australia. You've been to Australia?
Not yet, no.
The koala bear is in one zoo. And it is like a trained koala bear. You're standing there with the trainer of the koala bear who puts it in your arm for a nanosecond, and they take a picture for $25, and that's it. It isn't like you go in the road or into a park and there are koala bears. No. They know those koala bears are gold. And to monetize it as much as possible, gee, we got Taylor and her boyfriend, quote, boyfriend, to come and hug the singular koala bear. That's when I said, wait a minute, there's no way in heck if that's real boyfriend. And let's say they were almost dating. When his brother in the VIP suite, and those cost a fortune, tore off his shirt in the middle of the game in front of Taylor Swift. And we're not talking a swimmer, we're talking a pig. He tears off his shirt. Disgusting as hell, drunk out of his mind, the entire trailer park stood up and cheered, and I'm like, this is a Taylor park. We're looking at a Taylor park. She's not going to put up with this for more than 10 more days. That's my opinion. I think it's a setup for her But I don't think they threw the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of those conspiracy theories, too. I've heard some people think that Travis is actually gay himself. Some people are saying, why would he want a middle-aged woman who's always on tour? Some people say that she's a lesbian based on a video of her kissing her girlfriend, Carly, from a video from 2014. So, yeah, a lot of people are thinking that she is indeed a lesbian and he could be gay.
You're the best. We enjoy having you on the show. Good luck on jury duty next week. Kendall Toby with a report from the West Coast, somewhere mysterious. Thanks for being on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Sniper Wolf.
Hello, friends. It's me. Yes, I cut my hair. TikTok saw it first. I always wanted to cut my hair, so I did.
Why can't I get payola? No one else is playing Choice 4. Why can't I get payola? Best line in any song. Dreams can come true, baby, baby. If you believe I do. When you're young and in love, all you gotta do is trust and you'll find, baby. There's no mountain you can't climb when you're young and in love. Though many teardrops are sure to fall, true love can conquer all. When you're old, when you're young and in love. Coming up in just seconds, the legendary Dave Scott about the moon landing that nobody's talking about. Good evening, live radio Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday. coming up.
No one hates government-inspired acronyms like Secrets Cabaret in North Carolina. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain how everyone, including cops, can be hypocrites. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
So, are you going to tell me what happened?
Nothing. She just wasn't my type.
What? Are you messing? Joe's everyone's type.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
Dave Scott, our expert in all things extraterrestrial. A shocking event took place this week. Not that we landed a vehicle on the moon again for the first time in decades and decades and decades, but the fact that it didn't seem to make news. How is it possible that we sent a spacecraft to the moon and all we hear about is South Carolina? Dave Scott.
Maybe it's the lesbians in space that are actually causing the lack of media coverage of this. I'm not too sure.
However, I think you know that you have failed your audience at Spaced Out Radio by not having lesbians in space. You've heard that and you went, darn, why didn't I do that?
You know what? In a clickbait world, it's probably the thing I should be doing, Walter. But, can't find any lesbians in space right now, or aliens for that matter.
So what's the deal with there's no coverage of the moon landing?
I am as baffled as you are on this. I mean, it really goes to show the lack of interest the media has from anything to do with going back to the moon. I think it's one of those things where until we put people on a rocket, this is just clickbait in order to try and create some sort of international response to this. The United States is known for putting people on the moon back in the 1960s and early 70s, and that's what people want. I don't think they're going to be interested until we actually have true astronauts loading up on a SpaceX rocket and heading to the moon.
The non-manned vehicle that went to the moon this week, what was it doing? This was a private company that put it there. Do you know anything about the company or what it is they are looking for?
Well, they want to set up a station at the bottom of the moon to start prepping to bring people there. I mean, this is a commercial lunar payload that kind of went up from a company called Intuitive Machines, I believe they're called. And they are literally trying to start the setup for trying to set up a base with humans. They got contact with the machine. It landed perfectly on the ground. The Nova C Voyage has only a minor few glitches that were going on. So I think this is the initial setup. What they're actually doing, I don't think they've ever been really upfront with it.
I find it interesting that for all the antitrust possibilities, there doesn't seem to be any rule against any private company from putting a vehicle on the moon. There's no NASA control of it, is there?
I haven't seen any. I mean, NASA seems to be excited because they're not spending their own money. They're just creating the launch pads for it, unless you're SpaceX and using your own money. I mean, NASA just wants to get this private company business going so that way they can, I don't even know what NASA's good for anymore, to be honest, with every other private space agency, whether it's Jeff Bezos at the Amazon Group, whether it's Elon Musk or Richard Branson. I think they're all racing for the moon. They know what's up there. They want to establish bases up there. And in case hell breaks loose on this planet, they all have a place to go.
Are you in trouble?
Get out of the way here.
Are you in trouble?
Oh, that's the aliens coming. You know, I live near a fire department, and they have an old school air horn that goes off when they get a call.
You broadcast from there?
I wish. I love that horn.
Yeah. Well, you know, you could bring ASMR into your show and have random sounds at any time.
I know that, but you know what? When you're dealing with aliens and all sorts of stuff, you know, sirens and fart sounds and burp sounds just don't seem to work.
We're talking to Dave Scott, who's the host of a syndicated show in Canada called Spaced Out Radio. He's a great broadcaster. He has terrific stories. Are there any other space updates that you would like to share with us now, Dave Scott?
Well, one of the things on the UFO front, because I know you love your UFO stories outside of lesbians in space.
I do.
The big news right now is the whistleblower program. And they are right now having Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick, the former head of Arrow, who is really going on a campaign saying there is nothing in space. There is nothing going on. We haven't got aliens. We haven't got anything. And people like David Grush, whistleblowers, are really countering this. It's a real social media attack and counterattack. It's very interesting to watch. And it can all be found on X if you type in UFOs or disclosure.
And what should we look for on X? What are we looking for in these disclosures?
Well, you're going to see a bunch of public people out there who are very interested in the subject, researching the subject, going by what their sources are saying, and then the public just kind of banters with it. But, I mean, what you're looking for is the topics of update, and there's a lot of updates going on X on a daily basis regarding what people are saying behind the scenes. And we are all waiting for the news that there's going to be more hearings coming up within the next couple of months. And what those hearings are right now, we don't know. But we're hoping it has to do with aliens, that's for sure.
And, of course, Dave Scott, I want to get in touch with you during the week. How do I do that?
SpacedOutRadio.com, Walt.
SpacedOutRadio.com. I know that you right now are going to your job on the third shift, the late shift. Maybe you're trying desperately to get to sleep. Nothing will get that faster than going to spacedoutradio.com. Dave Scott is a great friend of mine, a great friend of Sterling on Sunday, and I thank you, Dave Scott. 15 past the hour, this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by old guys.
The Babylon Bee, in tragic comedic fashion, captured the moment perfectly. Man ruled too senile to stand trial, still fine to run country.
Here it comes, the best line in any song. Are you used to me? I thought so.
Each night seems just right, the 4th of July. When stars.
Oh, all the board operators around America are going, what? What's he doing? What is he doing?
And in love. Each night seems just right, the 4th of July.
Dave Labrosi is brilliant. He's the program director of KDKA AM and FM in Pittsburgh. That FM is a sports station. Who cares? But the real station is KDKA AM, which was the first radio station, the first commercial radio station on the air in America. And right now at KDKA, there's a ragtag group of college students, interns, filtering slowly into the newsroom at 12:20 Eastern. KDKA is a beautiful physical plant. It is a beautiful facility. I have had the privilege of broadcasting this show, and when I filled in, guest starred for the late Jim Bohannon, I would do it from KDKA in Pittsburgh, and I've been in there many times. What always worried me about KDKA and a long list of other stations that I have visited late at night to work, don't give me any crap, to work, is that for budgetary reasons done by people with MBAs who are all worthless, the first thing people with an MBA do, the wrong kind of MBAs, they get rid of old Charlie. Every company, every industry has an old Charlie. Every business has an old Charlie. Who's old Charlie? Old Charlie is not necessarily the oldest one there, but he's the one with the ready relationships. He knows the vendors, the sellers, the buyers, the community leaders. He has the relationships. And the problem with old Charlie is that it cannot fit on a spreadsheet. His knowledge and his contribution cannot go on it. They cannot deconstruct what he does and assign monetary value to what he does. Meanwhile, he is the heart and soul of the operation. And when the 22-year-old newcomer and when the 60-year-old CEO need a specific piece of information and need human judgment, they go to old Charlie and say, Charlie, did you ever play golf with this woman? What do you think of her? Do you think she'd be supportive of our business and our goals? And then old Charlie, more than anyone else, will know whether or not that person is a great contributor to the business, not on a spreadsheet. But the first thing they do when an MBA sweeps through your company is they get rid of old Charlie. The next thing they do in broadcasting is they try to monetize and deconstruct the value of a given contribution to what you and I hear on the air. And I swear to you, I have known of very successful morning radio shows that have four members, four cast members. And old Charlie, you know, the MBAs will come in and they'll look at that and go, well, could you do the show with three rather than four cast members? And some moron in that production team, to save her job, will say, yeah, we could do it with three. We don't need all four of these people. Yeah, that fourth one's sometimes drunk. Get rid of them. And slowly it ebbs away at the business. I was once in a situation with a dominant radio station, huge ratings, and they had a helicopter. And they were looking for ways to save money. The helicopter gives you a sense that that radio station knows everything that's going on in the city. Oh, they have a helicopter. They know what's going on. If there's an emergency, an explosion, they'll be right there. And they had that, and it cost them $200,000 a year. And they decided at some budgeting cycle they were going to take down the helicopter. And I was consulting them. I said, fire the consultant. Fire me. Don't take down the helicopter. And they took down the helicopter. Too many radio stations in America do not have late night, overnight, weekend news people. Years ago, this is not a recent phenomenon, 25 years ago, they started cutting back on news departments because it used to be that the FCC required radio and TV stations to have a certain number of minutes a week, a day of news. And therefore, they needed people to do the news. And then these radio stations, to keep or get their license, had to prove that they were doing the news. Well, there are a number of stations that have no news people in the building from 7 p.m. to 6 in the morning. And KDKA in Pittsburgh is a very important radio station to the city of Pittsburgh and to western Pennsylvania and eastern Ohio. It is a critical source of information. And Dave Labrosi, the program director, came up with a brilliant, clever solution to staffing overnights, which can never be proven to any MBA is worth investing in. That's asinine. Because it's 25% of the broadcast day, and you are listening right now, and I think you're really important, which is why I do this show. There's no better time of day to sell a product or an idea than right now. I am alone in this laundry room. I'm 14 inches away from this microphone, and you're 14 inches away from that speaker, and you're alone in the cab of the 18-wheeler. You're alone in the four-wheeler going to the third shift. We have an intimate and special relationship, which is brought out by when I lower my voice like this, and it sounds very intimate, and we're very cozy with each other. And that board up there, KMOX, just laughed. KDKA is an important radio station. And Dave Labrosi said, you know what? We need to bring people into the radio industry. We need to make it easy for newcomers to come into the business. And we need to have a team of smart people here overnight when news breaks in Pittsburgh and the nation that the people of Pittsburgh need to hear, even the jerks at PNC. And he has put together a team of interns to be in the newsroom right now. Welcome to the newsroom right now. I'm going to find out more about you. I'm going to put you on the air here to prove to Dave that you actually came to work. Now I have to drink water. I'm so emotional. Oh, yeah, I know it's not a good sound. But I salute Dave, and I salute you coming to work at KDKA in that beautiful newsroom, beautiful facility, and have the privilege of looking for information and service and audio that can be used tonight, right now at KDKA when necessary, and to have that morning show loaded up with all of the information that the people of Pittsburgh deserve. And that's because Dave Labrosi has put together a group of interns to come to work right now to get to show off what radio does best. I salute KDKA for doing this. It is the smartest thing that could be done. And there are a plethora of other radio stations that should do the same thing. And hopefully the award system in radio will catch up with innovation and newness. Where is the best award for best new programming idea? To Dave Labrosi from the Marconis, from the National Association of Broadcasters. Where is that award for best new idea, best new innovation, best new talent, best new podcast host? Where is the award for best new? Let's catch up with Australia. Australia has had best new talent, best new idea, best new engineering, best new sales technique. They have given national awards for that for decades. And it's time American radio do that too. I have had a particularly lousy week, a really crappy week. My beautiful wife, Katie, had major surgery. And I have behaved sometimes good and sometimes not. And we have been through the Hellgate with our public school. And I will share with you the information about the Hellgate with the public school and ask for your advice. That's coming up in just seconds. I want to hear from you about going to the French Riviera. Send me an email and I'll send you the information. Send it to WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Send me your real mailing address, and I will send you a beautiful brochure about the Walter Sterling Show and a small batch vacation on the French Riviera. Isn't that what you and I deserve? It's in October. We got time, but not many slots are left. Claim yours. We'll have a great time for 9 days on the French Riviera. Just think about that. Look around at your bedroom now. Look at your car, which is filthy. Don't you and I deserve better? I think we do. And we will find it on the French Riviera. Send me a note, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Ask for the brochure. Every email I get gets answered. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Ringo.
I love playing live.
I mean, that's what it's all about for me. That's the gig. If you want to connect with an audience, you've got to love them. You've got to love what you do, and you got to love them because that's why you're there, because they've come out to see you. Bars, pubs, clubs, weddings, anywhere. There's a magic moment when the band and the audience are just on. And that's a lot of peace and love. So when I tour now, you know, I love the audience. They love me. And we have certain gigs where it's just heart-filling.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
No one hates government-inspired acronyms like Secrets Cabaret in North Carolina. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain how everyone, including cops, can be hypocrites. coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
All these blind dates, I'm exhausted. Not a single one has worked out. I feel like a piece of meat on the market.
Well, finding the right one takes time.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a story from my upcoming book called The Hypocrite. Now, we're all hypocritical, whether we like it or not. At some point in our lives, we play the role of a hypocrite. Be it when you're a worker someplace and then you later on you get promoted to supervisor and you find yourself telling your employees not to do exactly what you used to do. And that's no different in the NYPD. So when I was a rookie cop running around making stolen vehicle arrests in the Bronx, I entered the world of tag jobs or change vehicle identification numbers. So I'd grab a car and I knew the VIN number was changed, but I didn't know how to ID the vehicle. And every car has these hidden or confidential vehicle identification numbers stamped on the car. So one day I've got this mystery mobile. I call the auto crime division and they said, yeah, we'll come down right away. So these two detectives show up and, I says, oh, great. You can show me where the hidden vehicle identification number is. And one detective says, well, before we get to that, let me look at the paperwork and let's talk to your prisoner and see what he has to say. The other detective says, I got to use the bathroom. So while I'm off talking to this detective and then interviewing the prisoner, his partner comes from the parking lot and says, oh, I got the hit on the car. He went out there and ID'd it. So I says, oh, great. Can you show me where you found that hidden VIN number? And then they turn around and say, oh, I got page. We have to leave. But I was happy that they ID'd the car for me, but a little disappointed that I didn't get to see for myself. A couple of weeks later, I come up with another mystery mobile. I call the auto crime division. And I remember on the phone, the detective goes, yeah, it's going to take a while, but we'll be there. Where's the car parked? Since it's in the precinct parking lot, where else would it be? He goes, oh, all right. And that was it. An hour later, these two detectives are standing in front of me in the arrest processor room, and they got a stolen vehicle printout report. And I said, how did you do that? And they said, oh, well, we saw the car in the lot. And I said, well, could you do me a favor and show me where it is? Same thing. We got to go. And they take off. So my sergeant said, you know what? Let's play this scenario again, but I'm going to wait out in the parking lot. So a couple of weeks later, I come up with another mystery mobile. I call the auto crime division. My lieutenant hides out in the parking lot. They show up and he grabs them while they're IDing the car. So they don't want to show us where the hidden VIN numbers are. We got really upset with him, and my sergeant actually ordered them to show us. So I kind of had like a love-hate relationship with the auto crime division early on as a young patrolman. Well, 10 years later, guess who goes to the auto crime division? And guess what? I found myself doing the same thing. It basically boils down to job security, and you don't want everybody to know where these hidden VIN numbers are because people talk. You never know. Sometimes cops have family and body shops in the auto industry. Every point in our lives, at one point, we play the hypocrite. So for more police stories, check out my new book, NYPD, Laughing in the Line of Duty.
I had a terrible week. I'm Walter Sterling. Good evening. Coast to coast. Big giant radio show. That's what we do. One-on-one. Welcome home. You're a misfit. I'm a misfit. We're introverts. We don't belong. Except right here. I have a 12-year-old daughter who has a condition known as apraxia, and she goes to public school. Apraxia makes it difficult for her to speak and to process sounds the way you and I do. When she enters the hallway of a public school, it is a cacophony of live, loud sounds that she cannot process efficiently. It hurts her ears. Music class. Imagine a fifth grade music class where they're all blowing clarinets. Hurts her ears, and because of her apraxia, she does not have the ability to control her jaw precisely to play a wood instrument, a woodwind instrument, a flute, forget it. Clarinet, disaster. and she can't read English yet. She's in fifth grade, but she reads at a kindergarten level, so she's certainly not about to learn how to read music. Can't read music, can't play an instrument, and has trouble communicating her needs. But she has fine motor skill problems, trouble with touching and walking and dancing, and certainly with moving her jaw. Music hurts her, embarrasses her. It's emotionally draining. We have said to the public school system, she has to come out of music. Day after day after day, she has refused to go to school. And finally, we figured out what it was. She doesn't want to go to music. And it is painful for her to go through the hallway. It's the first time she's in a school where they have to change class for subject. In elementary school, she was in one classroom all day, no problem. Now to go to math, to science, to English, is going through a hallway and finding another classroom in a big school. This is too much for her. We have said, let's take her out of music. There was a Zoom meeting months ago where I said, let's take her out of music. Why don't we give her more reading time? She reads at a kindergarten level. Why don't we give her more reading time? And the first response from an administrator was, well, one person can't make the decision to get out of music. That has to be a team decision. We're not talking about English and math. We're talking about music. Fifth grade music, not Carnegie Hall level music, fifth grade music, which will be meaningless to 99% of the kids who take it, much like algebra. That was in October. This week I had two meetings with a team of people at the public school to say she has to get out of music. Because that's why she doesn't want to go to school. I can't, day after day after day, she's staying home because she refuses to go to music. And now they're threatening us with child services. Hi, this family's been in this community since 1965. We have lawyers, teachers. Every one of us has gone to college. My other kids are in college. We all understand the value of an education. Take her out of music. Because she isn't going to come to school unless you do. She has to come to school. We're going to have to go to child services if she doesn't. I'm like, no. There's no trouble at home. She loves being at home. It's warm and safe and sometimes clean. And she's happy there. She has, 500 stuffed animals. The threat and the unsafe and the negligence is taking place in school. That's where she's uncomfortable. That's where she feels unsafe. That's where she's put in an hour of threat. You and I could ignore it. You and I could say, it's stupid. It's not. It's more profound for her to be in music than that. It's painful. It's emotionally draining. And I'm going to have to get lawyers to deal with this. Hi, why don't you make a unilateral decision and take her out of music? That doesn't seem to be possible. And the way I know there's a lie at work, I've said this to 7 or 8 different teachers and administrators, get her out of music. And each one of them gives a different reason why they're not in charge of that. Someone else has to do that. And here's the reason why they can't do it. And every one of them has a different reason. And that's how you know there's a lie at work. When there's a different answer to the same question, somebody's lying. In this case, they're all lying. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. My precious 12-year-old hates to go to school because of music. A music class in fifth grade. Take her out of music class. Give her more reading time. That's a team decision. Go to hell. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Harvey Holiday.
Late on a Sunday night, it's Holiday with love music, and it's so sad to see good love go bang.
Here comes the best line in any song ever. Here it is. I know you want to hear it. I know you do. Some professional. I'm sure this is better than repeats of Art Bell. Do you know there are actual radio stations that play repeats of Art Bell from 22 years ago? He used to do a UFO show. Great voice, terrific talent, died 22 years ago. And they still would rather play repeats of that with him talking about, hey, did you see what I saw today in the morning on CNN? Unedited. They don't edit them for date and time. They just, I can't believe it. Amateurs. Yes, you, interns at KDKA, congratulations. How lucky are you to be in that newsroom? Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Send me an email. I'll put the first one who sends me an email on the air on this show. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. And I want to send you information about you and I going to the French Riviera in October. Send me your real mailing address and I'll personally address the envelope. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. I have been through hell this week because I have had 2-day-long meetings at a public school. And the priority at this public school, which used to be a good school system, the priority is not how do we make our graduates appealing to the Ivy League? How do we get 100% of our students to graduate? There's none of that. I have not seen a board meeting or a school meeting where they talk about achieving academic excellence and offering students a remarkable educational experience. Instead, there are meetings about how to end tracking. Not fracking, tracking. Well, now my beautiful 12-year-old is being threatened. Our family's being threatened with child services visiting to find out why she isn't attending school more. The reason she's not attending school more is she hates music. That's why. And because she hates music and is strong-willed, there are days she refuses to go to school. Won't go. Because of her condition known as apraxia, it hurts her in a way you and I can't imagine to hear random noise, high-pitched noise that you would hear in a fifth-grade music room. Oh, did I mention she's in fifth grade? She's in a fifth grade music room with that random noise and those high squeaks, those horrible squeaks, and other kids who don't always want to be there. She cannot read notes. She cannot read English. Therefore, she cannot read notes. Wait, she can't read English? No, they want to keep her in music. Daddy says, take her out of music and give her more reading. Give her more one-on-one reading instruction to deal with her special condition, to deal with her challenge. And the answer wasn't, hey, you know what, Mr. Sterling, you're right. We're doing everything we can to get her into more one-on-one sessions. We want her to achieve the excellence that we know she can achieve. We wanted to get her to out of kindergarten level reading into, first grade level reading, even though she's in fifth grade. No, the answer is, that's a team decision. No one person can make that decision. That's a team decision. I'm like, really? That can't be a one-on-one decision? Warren in St. Louis, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hello, Warren. Hi.
Yeah, hi. Hey. I listen to KMOX Radio out of St. Louis for your record.
Isn't that the best station? What a great station. I love KMOX.
One of the best, if not the best. I'm a pharmacist, and I had to counsel a patient the one time who she couldn't hear. And she went to a school for the deaf in a college, a town. Well, how do you counsel a patient who is deaf, a young lady? So I thought, I don't know sign language, but I thought I've got to do something creative. So I asked her to step behind the counter and to the computer terminal, which is a typewriter or computer, and I typed in, do you have any questions about your medicine? And she went, wow, this is the first time I've ever been able to talk to my pharmacist. And she typed in yes, and we went back and forth like that dialogue. So my suggestion to you is, and I have no basis for this, perhaps someone who does sign language, or maybe even teaches sign language, because that person has a handicap, she could help your daughter.
Warren, you're a very sweet man, and I thank you very much for calling into Sterling on Sunday. Thank you very much. What a great suggestion from Warren. And oddly, I'm not kidding you, I have thought about maybe sign language would help Samantha, would be a better way to go. I enjoy being with you every week. This is a live radio show. We're 3 hours, you know, from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, 9 p.m., 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. West Coast at KFBK. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday.
All right. Right. Stay bright.